Good morning. It's good to be with you on this Thursday morning, this National Day of Prayer. If you're in the Madison, Mississippi area, we'd love to have you join us at 12 noon at St. Matthew's as we have our National Day of Prayer. It'll be a great time for us to pray together, to hear a message about prayer, and come together to pray for our nation, to pray for our world, to pray for our church. We'd love to have you join us if you're able today at 12 noon here at St. Matthew's. Yesterday, we finished the book of Jonah. So today we're going to move to Micah. Micah is another one of our minor prophets. A little bit of a longer one. That I think Micah has seven chapters. So not a super long book, but it's longer than Jonah. Jonah was four. So Micah was a prophet in the southern kingdom of Judah. He prophesied roughly the same time as Isaiah, right as Babylon was invading and destroying Jerusalem and taking the people into exile. So he's gonna prophesy in this is before exile. I'm sorry. He prophesied around 700 BC, give or take. But he prophesied about the destruction that was coming. So anyway, because Jerusalem fell in the 500s. So today we're going to be reading Micah chapter 1, be reading 1 through 16. We'll read this whole chapter. Micah 1, 1 through 16. The word of the Lord, which came to Micah of Moresheth in the days of Jotham, Ahaz, and Hezekiah, kings of Judah, and which he saw regarding Samaria and Jerusalem. Hear you peoples, all of you, listen carefully, earth and all it contains. May the Lord God be a witness against you, the Lord from his holy temple. For behold, the Lord is coming forth from his place. He will come down and tread on the high places of the earth. The mountains will melt under him, and the valleys will be split, like wax before the fire, like water poured down a steep place. All this is due to the wrongdoing of Jacob, and the sins of the house of Israel. What is the wrongdoing of Jacob? Is it not Samaria? What is the high place of Judah? Is it not Jerusalem? For I will make Samaria a heap of ruins in the open country, planting places for a vineyard. I will hurl her stones down into the valley and lay bare her foundations. All of her idols will be crushed. All of her earnings will be burned with fire, and all of her images I will make desolate. She collected them from a prostitute's earnings, and to the earnings of a prostitute they will return. Because of this, I must mourn and wail. I must go barefoot and naked. I must do mourning like the jackals and mourning like the ostriches. For her wound is incurable, for it has come down to Judah and has reached the gate of my people, even to Jerusalem. Do not tell it to Gath. Do not weep at it. Do not weep at all. At Beth-Horal, roll yourself into the dust in mourning. Give way, inhabitant of Shepharoth and the shameful nakedness, inhabitant of Zanon that does not escape. The mourning of Beth-Ezel, he will take from you its support. To the inhabitant of Moroth, waits for something good, because disaster has come down from the Lord to the gate of Jerusalem. Harness the chariots to the team of horses. You inhabit Lamesis. She was the beginning of sin. To the daughter of Zion, because you found the rebellious act, because in you were found the rebellious act of Israel. Therefore, you will give parting gifts on behalf of Moreseth-Gaal. The houses of Achazib will become a deception to the kings of Israel. Moreover, I will bring on you the one who takes possession. Your inhabitant of Marashath, the glory of Israel, will enter Adullam. Shave yourselves bald, yes, cut your hair, because of the children of your delight. Extend your baldness like an eagle, for they will go from you into exile. Okay, so we see here Micah prophesying or declaring judgment on both Samaria and Judah. Let's unpack what that means there. After Solomon, the kingdom of Israel had a civil war, divided to a northern kingdom called Israel and a southern kingdom called Judah. The northern kingdom's capital was Samaria. The southern kingdom's capital was Jerusalem. So Jerusalem is where the king of Judah resided. And Jerusalem was also the temple. So Judah had the king, the temple, the palace, but also had the place of worship, the temple. Okay, so that was Judah. The northern kingdom had a capital city, Samaria. No big deal. Every country has a capital city. But do you think the kings of Israel wanted their people to go to Jerusalem to worship God in the temple? Of course not. They wouldn't want that. They would not want their people going to Jerusalem to worship, because that would give Jerusalem legitimacy. So what happened then is the kings of Israel established high places with sacred poles and things like that. Dan was a big one in the north part of the country, but Samaria was also a big one. And they told the people of Israel to worship God in these high places. And their form of worship became a mixture of Jewish worship along with idolatry, along with pagan worship, things like that. Do you remember the Samaritan woman at the well in John chapter 4? And her question to Jesus is, where should she worship? Should she worship there on the mountain, like her ancestors say, ancestors of Samaria, worship there? Or should they go to Jerusalem, like Jesus' people say? And Jesus said, you'll worship in spirit and in truth. So what happens is the Samaritans, the people of Samaria in Israel, begin to worship idols. And that's why you see verses 6, verses 7, verses 8, verses 9 even talk about the idolatry of Samaria and what has happened. But then what's interesting, verse 9 says, for her wound is incurable, for it has come to Judah, it has reached the gate of my people, even to Jerusalem. So we see that not only has the idolatry of Samaria infected Israel, but now it's affecting Judah and even Jerusalem. And so Samaria's idolatry, Samaria's sin has even caused Judah, Jerusalem, even Jerusalem, sacred Jerusalem, to fall into sin. There's no joke here. You sleep with dogs, you wake up with fleas. There's that balance as Christians we have to have, where if we don't have any relationships with people who are not Christian, if we don't have any relationship with people who are not Christian, then it's going to be hard to tell them about Jesus, isn't it? It's going to be hard to tell them about Jesus if we don't have relationships with people. But we also need to be very careful of who influences us. And where we find places and people of influence, we should be very careful with that. Today, we see that Samaria is judged for their sin, yes, their idolatry, yes, but they're also judged for how they have caused Jerusalem to fall into sin and their impact upon Judah. And I think it's very important for us in our life to examine who influences us, where do we find our influence, who are the people that we look to for advice, for wisdom, who do we turn to over and over again to help us think through things and understand things. And we need to make sure in our life that we are seeking wise counsel and wise leadership. We need to have people around us who we trust to speak into our life to give us advice and help. That matters. So we need to do that. But likewise, we need to understand how we're influencing others. What kind of influence are we? Are we people, when I leave a relationship or when I leave a conversation, do I leave it in a place where the person I was talking to wants to know Jesus more? Am I living, speaking, acting in such a way that I lift up Jesus to where folks who don't know him want to know him better because of me, or folks who do know him want to walk closer with him? Samaria was a negative influence upon Jerusalem. And we see that Samaria is judged not just for their own sin, but for the way they influenced Jerusalem. We need to ask, are the people that we are with a positive or negative influence on us? And I think we need to look within our own lives and ask, are we a positive or a negative influence upon others? For Jerusalem, of course, chose their own path. Samaria did not make them worship idols. It's not like the king of Israel came to Judah and said, okay, guys, you're going to worship idols now. Didn't happen. However, it's very easy to be influenced. And they saw what Samaria was doing, and they fell into the same trap. So today, I guess our questions are the people in your life, the people you turn to, the people you ask for help, the people you ask for guidance and wisdom, are these people positive influences upon you or negative influences? And likewise, we need to look within ourselves and ask ourselves, are we positive influences upon others or are we negative influences upon others? It really is. That's a great path for us to discern ourselves, to look within ourselves, to figure out what we're doing and how we're doing it. We're going to enjoy being in Micah the next few days. Tomorrow, we'll read Micah chapter 2. So I look forward to unpacking this wonderful book with you. Have a great rest of your day. And like I said, we'd love to see you at 12 noon here at St. Matthew's for our National Day of Prayer. Have a great day.